Hello and welcome to the Travel Diaries podcast. I'm your host, Holly Rubinstein, and on today's bonus destination special episode, we are heading to the sun-soaked Mediterranean archipelago that is magnificent Malta. Nestled in the heart of the Mediterranean Sea, about 3 hours direct flight from England, Malta is a stunning island nation with a unique blend of history, culture, and natural beauty. Picture rugged cliffs overlooking crystal clear waters, beautiful beaches framed by ancient fortresses, and bustling towns adorned with colourful balconies and cobblestone streets. Geographically, Malta is composed of three main islands, Malta, Gozo, and Camino. Each island has its own distinct character, which we discover on our episode today with the help of someone who is perfectly placed to bring Malta to life. Ewan Jong is a journalist, editor, and inclusive tourism advocate who co-founded Out There magazine, a luxury travel magazine and essential resource for LGBTQ plus travelers. And that's been going for nearly 15 years. We head on a journey from the bustling capital city of Valletta with its UNESCO-listed fortifications to the tranquil countryside of Gozo and the serene beaches of Camino. Whether you're a film aficionado who spotted it in Gladiator and Game of Thrones, you're a foodie who's interested in trying many of its Michelin star restaurants and local eateries, or you're simply looking to soak up the sun on a stunning beach, Malta has something for everyone. So join us as we uncover the hidden gems, local secrets, and unforgettable experiences that make this island nation truly magnificent. Ewan Jong, welcome to the Travel Diaries and to this magnificent Malta destination special. How are you?
I'm very good, Holly. Nice to speak to you. And it's really good to be here. Thanks for having me on your show.
I know that you're a big fan of Malta. I followed your travels in Malta. What is it about Malta that you love?
I'm a fan and enthusiast. It was light love at first sight.
Really?
Yeah, quite bizarre because, you know, as a journalist, I get to go to lots of different places. Before I went there, I would have said it wasn't somewhere that was the top of my bucket list. I'm a long hauler. I love going far and wide. While I've always known about Malta, it wasn't somewhere that sort of immediately said, oh, come to me. So I guess I fell in love with it by accident, but it was a pleasant accident.
Well, you've perfectly kicked off our travel diaries today, your Maltese travel diaries, because of course the first chapter is the first place that you fell in love with in Malta. So you're saying it was love at first sight. Was there something in particular or a place in particular that really first captured your heart?
It was actually at the hotel that I first checked into. Going as a journalist, it was on my list to do many hotels, but the first hotel I checked into was called the Kugo Grand Messina Grand Harbour.
That's a very long name.
Yeah, you'll soon hear Maltese names are not the easiest to pronounce and also quite lengthy.
Say that one again.
This was the Kugo Grand Messina Grand Harbour Hotel.
Right, gotcha.
And it was from the pool deck, the rooftop from there, that I first caught my first proper glimpse of the three cities, the Grand Harbour and Valletta, in all its entirety. And it was just so beautiful. Firstly, the hotel was built into a medieval boat demasting shed that dated back to like 1547. So it was like reeking in history anyway. But then from the rooftop, I soaked literally and figuratively because it was a beautiful pool as well. And the sun was shining and I just realized I was, you know, living history. And I'm a history buff. I love local culture. And just having the view and drinking in the magnificence of it all really made me fall in love with Malta.
Sounds absolutely beautiful. For people who aren't aware of Malta's history, are you able to tell us a little bit about why it is such a great destination for history buffs. And in fact, also, you know, I guess leading on from that, why then it is now being used in so many sets, and this notion of set jetting, where you can go and visit the different film sets and TV show sets that it's being used for, because of its incredible history.
Well, that's a big question. That's a two-part question. But let's start with the first. Potted history, rather challenging to tell because, you know, where do you start? There are monuments on Malta that predate the pyramids, right? They're temples, much like our Stonehenge here in the UK, aligned with the sun and the solstice and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So if you want to go back way back then, we can go back way back then. But Malta's sort of more popular history, let's say, starts really at the time of the Knight Templars. And, you know, it's a mystical and magical story of war and dominion and religion and all of that stuff that we know of Central Europe or Southern Europe, even coming together and having won the war, a battle against the marauding Turks or Ottomans. The kingdom of Sicily, of which Malta was part of at the time, was given to the knights to run. And I believe that was in the 16th century. I can't be absolutely certain in and around that time. But in and around that time is when Malta started to grow. And so it was already at the confluence, you know, in the middle of the Mediterranean. It was a huge trading port. And then the influences of the knights, which came from all over Europe. So while it's positioned near Sicily in the Mediterranean, the influences came from as far as Scandinavia, the UK, France, you know, Spain, Portugal, everywhere. And that's what fed into the growing culture of Malta. And that's why
it's a real melting pot.
Yeah, the architecture and the culture and the history of what it is today. Why is it good for set jetting? Purely because of that, because walking through Malta, particularly Valletta, the three cities, Mdina, which is its ancient capital, it's like walking through a film set, particularly a Games of Thrones type film set. Game of Thrones was filmed there, but also, you know, movies like Gladiator and so forth, because it just looks like something truly medieval in one form, predating that even in sort of ancient Rome in another. It's really a wondrous place that you've just got to go see for yourself.
Is it very perfectly preserved?
It's not. It's actually in limestone, a lot of the building, so it's crumbling. But I think that adds to the magic. It's sort of that sort of dilapidated grandeur that happens. Bathed in sunshine, the sort of sandy
the light colored hitting that stone, yeah.
Shadows being thrown around, crusade time architecture, ramparts, fortresses, church buildings, you know, everything you'd imagine from one of those movies, it's there.
Wow. And when you talk about the three cities,
yes,
what do you mean by that?
So Malta is actually, Malta is a series of islands. The country of Malta itself is actually an archipelago nation. And there are three major islands. There are more islands, in fact, but there are three major islands. There's Malta, Gozo, and Comino. So while we talk about Malta as the country, there's also Malta the island. And Malta the island is made up of various cities. The three cities being the oldest and the most famous. Please don't ask me their names, because they've actually got two names each, a modern name and a new name. I always get them mixed up. That's Valletta is actually relatively new compared to the three cities, but it's not a big, you know, it's not a big place. It's not a big island. So while it sounds like three, you know, we say the three cities, is nowhere like distinguishing between Washington, D.C., New York or Boston or London, Manchester and Birmingham. They're literally right next to each other. It's actually three neighborhoods.
Right.
But they are considered individual cities because they have their own walls, their own ramparts and their own protection.
And they're directly across the Grand Harbour from Valletta.
Yes, they all encircle the Grand Harbour. The Grand Harbour is the focus point. It's exactly as it says in the tin. the Grand Harbour. So that's where goods or ships or military would come in. And the cities are all based around that.
And you in particular, you know, as well as writing obviously more broadly about the destination, are always interested to, of course, shine a light on the LGBTQ plus scene in Malta. What was your experience of that there? Because I know that Malta has a fantastic pride. I know that it's a really inclusive country. Was that your experience?
Absolutely. Little known fact, Malta is actually the top European country when it comes to LGBTQ rights. Little known fact.
That is a little known fact.
There's an organization called ILGA, which is the International LGBTQIA Association, which is Human Rights Association. Every year they do a rainbow index for Europe. Mm-hmm. And Malta has topped it for the last 8 years running. But people don't really know
8 years
that.
Running. Wow.
Absolutely. And we're talking higher than the UK, higher than Sweden, higher than the Scandinavian countries when it comes to the human rights. And that's to do with laws, protection, quality of life, trans rights, that kind of thing. But people don't often expect that because it's a deeply Catholic country.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Firstly, it has always been somewhere that has valued difference because of its internationalism, even way back to the 16th century. Mm. People coming from everywhere, people being far away from home, that kind of stuff. Although within a Christian Catholic context, that melting pot has always created a society that values difference.
Yeah.
Also through various political regimes and wanting to be part of a modern Europe rather than an old school European nation. I think a lot of those things combined, as well as some very strong human rights leaders internally, matriarchal societies rather than patriarchal, things like that has all led towards Malta being very open when it comes to LGBTQ rights.
Yeah.
You've got to also understand that Valletta is the smallest European capital on the continent.
And I guess from what you're saying, that perhaps lends itself to, again, being like a very manageable, you know, long weekend destination or somewhere that you can get around very easily. Because if it's small but packed full of history, you're kind of getting like a lot of bang for your buck.
Absolutely. And add to that, Malta was a British, you know, part of the British protectorate colony. So English is widely spoken. And so I think that makes things a lot easier mm-hmm. as well. And also they've been used to dealing with visitors since the 15th century. So it's a very hospitable place. But because tourism is such an important part of the Maltese economy, I think they've really put in place real great infrastructure for tourists to be able to access it easily, whether it's ferries between the islands or it's public transport or so. Yes, you're right. It's a very easy long weekend. But, you know, I would say a long weekend would sell it short. There's a lot to see.
Yeah.
At least 5 days, if not a week, to really experience it for at its best.
Would you stay in just one place or would you move around?
I would move around. Valletta is a great base. And you know, there's something for everyone too, dependent on the sort of traveller you are. If you're a party-hearty person, you could stay in St. Julian's. If you're a culture vulture, you could stay in Valletta. If you're a family, you know, there's lots of other smaller resorts around the island of Malta itself to do that. But then there's also Gozo, which is an island which is a short ferry ride away for Malta, and you can actually get a hydrofoil from Valletta as well. You don't have to go all to the tip of the island to get to Gozo anymore. And that's very laid back, very sleepy, nature at its best, great food, lovely people, crazy Christian celebrations. Yeah, real sort of something different than what we're used to.
What would you say, like a few of the key things that they would expect from Gozo?
Gozo is super laid back, and nature, like I say, nature is big in Gozo, so beautiful coastlines.
Is it where you'd experience some of the water sports? Because I know that Malta's really big on its water sports as well.
Yes, you can, particularly diving and snorkeling in Gozo, and you can dive just off the coast, actually, in Gozo as well, but all throughout Malta, particularly northern Malta. And Gozo is also the jumping off point for the Blue Lagoon, so which is beautiful, crystal clear, Maldivian style water.
Really?
Absolutely. And that's why when we talk about water sports, it makes Gozo such a wonderful destination, because it's all just there. And then there are also a lot of wrecks, whether they are old Christian statues or they're old warships. There's even a sunken World War II bomber under the water. And actually, you can see it, even though, like, I don't know how deep it is, you can see it from a boat because the water is so clear. And then add to that the limestone casts and the cliffs, and it all just comes together as a beautiful landscape. So I'd recommend definitely going to Gozo and getting a boat from there, whether it's a day, you know, it would be a day trip. You can't stay on Camino, which is the island that has all the beautiful clear water around. But you can very easily take a boat from Gozo and spend the day just swimming in the sea and enjoying the sunshine.
Sounds glorious. I've got that kind of rising feeling. I don't know if you get this as a travel journalist, when you hear somebody bringing to life a place that you've not yet been, where you're kind of like, I need to visit. You're making me want to book a trip there ASAP.
And you know what? The thing is that I think, like me, it's actually quite below radar for a lot of people. Or people would have known of Malta and have their preconceptions of it. Or like they say, they know Malta or they've heard of Malta, but it doesn't register as high as, say, the Greek islands or the south of France, or particularly when it comes to luxury travel. But that's something very interesting I learned too. Actually, Malta has luxury unlike any other.
Really?
You know, it's got today in the news, big news for Malta, it has its first 2 Michelin star restaurant for a tiny population. That's incredible. Yeah. And add to that some amazing luxury hotels as well, both on Gozo and on Malta itself.
Well, let's move on to chapter 2, Ewan, because thinking about luxury hotels, it's your all-time favourite. So maybe let's start with your favourite hotel and then we'll move on to some other favourites too.
You're going to get me in trouble here when I, you know, as they say, never ask a travel journalist what their favourite hotel is, because that's going to come back and bite you in the bum.
Except for the one that you pick, of course.
But my favourite hotel, I think, in Valletta itself has to be the Eniola Harbour House.
I think it's Malta's
most extraordinary luxury design hotel. It's just beautiful, creative, inspirational, chic, all at the same time. The restaurant there, the Ion at Harbour House, is the one that won the 2 Michelin stars.
Oh, did it? Right.
Just today. It's had one for a very long time. It won its first star within 6 months of opening, which is amazing. And they've now had a couple of different chefs. And today it's received Malta's first 2 Michelin star.
Wow. What kind of cuisine is it?
I would say European, highbrow European, international. The chef, I believe the chef is Simon Rogan at the moment.
Who,
you know, need no introduction. It's just a brilliant hotel.
So it's a city hotel. Does it have a pool, like, if, you know, for those hot days?
It does, not outdoors. It has a subterranean pool in its spa. And it's set in an old, again, everything in Malta is set in an old building, apart from the properties in St. Julian, which is the more sort of buzzy, party-hearty resort. A lot of younger travellers will know St. Julian for, you know, the sun, sea, and maybe not sangria in this case. But, you know, the sort of budget package holiday style trips, but also a lot of fun. You know, there's something for everyone there. But in Valletta itself, most properties, whether it's a hotel or an Airbnb, will be found in an old building of some sort. And it's just wonderful. I think that it's actually a British-owned brand. The owner's from Manchester and has a fantastic story. It's something I'll leave you to go and discover for yourself. And he started a hotel in Thailand and brought the brand to Malta.
Interesting. Oh, wow. That's definitely one to add to the hotel wish list. And if you wanted to have more of a kind of resorty, beachy seaside holiday, are there any hotels that come to mind for that?
Yeah, that exists too. One thing to note about Malta, it's not a sandy beach destination. It's beautiful water, but it's mainly rocky. Mm-hmm. There is a Kempinski, I believe, on Gozo, which brings all that resort style vibe to the destination. But actually, my favorite hotel in Gozo is somewhere called the 37 Gozo, which is a lovely little boutique hotel, and it's not resorty, but it's a beautiful little homestead in an old village, and it's where Angelina Jolie stayed with her children when she was filming there by the sea.
I remember reading about when she was filming there, because it really put Gozo on the map, didn't it, at the time?
Absolutely, and it was the brainchild of Patty and Giuseppe, who are just these brilliant Milanese ex-fashion people that, again, like me, came to Malta, but then, you know, went to Gozo, went further than that, went to Gozo, went exploring and found their own little spot. And so they've, you know, really imagined that sort of Milanese chic sort of aesthetic being implemented in an old Gazetan house. And they've created so cool. Something amazing. It's just 10 suites, and it's all inspired by the couple's globetrotting. And I definitely recommend that place as well.
Oh, that sounds great. You could do a bit of time in Valletta and then a bit of time there in Gozo.
I would recommend that. You know, a lot of people do Gozo as a day trip, and I think that's a waste. But it totally depends, you know, what floats your boat. But I think it's good to be able to stay a while, because there's also some amazing food there in Gozo.
So tell me a little bit about its food.
Gazetan food, they would like to say it's a little different to Maltese food. I can't quite tell the difference, really. But there's this beautiful, Patty from 37 Gozo took me to this amazing place. And it's in a little bay called Magar, and you'll need a car or taxi to get there. But right in the middle of the bay, there's a simple beach shack that serves the freshest seafood. Really local spot. Nothing like, you know, nothing flash by far. Far, far from the 2 Michelin star service that you get at Ion at the Harbour Club. But really, it's somewhat of a secret local spot. I'm not sure I'm even supposed to say, because I was brought there and told that, you know, this is a really local spot. But you'll see amazing people there as well. People from Malta bring their boats over and park up in the bay just to go there and eat. So you'll actually see some like luxury yachts bobbing around in this tiny bay while they sort of jump off and come and eat at this beach shack.
Oh, and what, does it have a name?
I guess it's the seafood beach shack in Magar.
Okay, you have to look it up on the Google Maps or ask Patty.
Yeah, or ask Patty. But you know, if you go to the bay, it's the only thing in the bay. Literally, yeah. It's a little tiny bay. Beautiful water, you know, that sparkles under the sunshine, and this beach shack where sort of quite eccentric owners sort of yell and sing and cook and create an atmosphere that's absolutely wonderful.
Well, it sounds like quite the hidden gem. Our penultimate chapter is chapter 3, and that is your Maltese hidden gem. Is there another place that comes to mind as a place that you discovered on your trip?
It was not so much a hidden gem, because I think everybody knows about this place, but it's absolutely wonderful, and how you encounter it and how you spend time in it is the secret. It's Malta's old capital called Medina. It's spelled Medina.
Right.
And that's like you would find in Morocco, but that's because of its Arab roots. It's the same Medina. It's just said slightly differently. Medina. It's Malta's silent city. And my hot tip, my hidden gem tip, is to arrive promptly at sunset once most of the tourists who have come for the day have gone. And it's an amazing place for reflection and quiet and to soak in history. If the walls there could talk, they would tell you a million stories. And it's really fun to get lost in its labyrinthine streets. It's an Instagrammer's dream. It's where the Game of Thrones was filmed. It's like something straight out of a movie. But because it's quite quiet, it's really a great place to just go and sort of reflect and think and, you know, be inspired. And wandering the sleepy, narrow passages of cloistered as a fortified city, it really inspires a feeling of awe and eeriness in equal measures, I think. It's beautifully preserved as well.
Yeah.
So it's a medieval-like setting, and it's really atmospheric. And like I say, if you like taking a picture or two, it's a visual storyteller's dream.
Oh, it sounds like it, especially at sunset, as you say.
So many blockbusters. Yeah, and at sunset, the light gets thrown around, the shadows get cast, and, you know, you'll get pink bougainvillea covered faces and arabesque arched doorways, now decorated with Christian effigies, of course, and, you know, little doorknobs and grates, and it's wonderful. Just outside the city walls as well is Rabat. Again, an Arab, you know, sort of linking to its Arab roots, where there's a burgeoning hipster scene, cool coffee shops and cocktail bars and that kind of stuff, the more contemporary side of Malta.
Interesting.
So it's a duality between that old and new, inside the city walls and outside the city walls.
Sounds absolutely fantastic. Before we get on to your final chapter, Ewan, and what's at the top of your bucket list when you next go back, is there anywhere else that you'd like to tell us about that we haven't chatted about yet?
I would definitely go and see the ancient ruins. And there's some on Gozo and there's some on Malta. I won't spoil it for you because it's just one of those, how the hell did this happen and how the hell did they get these rocks, some weighing up to 20 tons up to where it is? It's some, you know, it's just mind blowing. And to understand that, there's a history that predates Malta itself. And during the summer solstice and, you know, the sun lines line up, everything glows and it's perfect beam of lights gets sort of sent through it. It just gives you that sense that there has to be something higher, that there has to be a higher power than we think, that, you know, because
it's a spiritual, spirituality.
Yeah, and I'm not a spiritual person. I'm actually quite sort of functional when it comes to that kind of thing. But even then, it sort of, like you say, it gives you that sort of gasping out loud moments when you travel, and they're dotted all over Malta. They've got quite a few of them, some on Gozo and some on Malta Island itself.
Sounds so special. What a lot to discover in one small country. Well, we move on then, Ewan, to our final chapter, and that is the destination that is at the top of your travel bucket list when you next go back. Where would you like to visit that you haven't been to yet, or maybe one that you're desperate to go back to?
I think it's got to be Gozo. There is something for every kind of traveler. Whether you're looking to go party for a weekend, whether you're looking to go imbibe in its LGBTQ nightlife and culture, whether you just want to go eat, whether you're a real history buff and want to get under the skin of you know, centuries old history, there's something there for you. And there are providers who are doing truly amazing things. There are still parts of Malta that you can go to and experience real seclusion, nature, and real, true, authentic hospitality.
Brilliant. You've made me want to book a trip immediately. Yuan Zhong, those were your Maltese travel diaries. It has just been so lovely chatting all things Malta with you. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you for having me, and I'll see you in Malta.
Oh, well, I hope that has given you a taste of magnificent Malta. And a huge thank you to Yuan Zhong, editor of Out There magazine, for helping to bring everything to life so vividly. Such a fascinating conversation. I've included all of Yuan's recommendations in the episode show notes here on your podcast app and online at thetraveldiariespodcast.com. If you're now desperate to visit Malta like me, then don't forget that the Tourist Board website is always a great resource. In this case, it's visitmalta.com. And don't forget to support all of your favorite travel publications online and in print too, which often have really detailed guides as well. Thanks so much for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from the podcast, don't forget to hit subscribe, or if you use Apple Podcasts, to press follow so that a new episode lands in your podcast app each week. If you want to be the first to find out who is joining me on next week's episode, come and follow me on Instagram. I'm at Holly Rubenstein, and you'll also find me on Threads and TikTok. I'd love to hear from you. And if you can't wait till then, remember there's the first 10 seasons to catch up on. That's over 115 episodes to keep you busy there. Thanks again, everyone. Take care, and I'll be back next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.